Well, LSU is preparing to play the biggest game on their schedule, probably since the national championship in 2019, as Alabama heads to Tiger Stadium this weekend. This game could decide the SEC West, and the winner of this game could punch their ticket to Atlanta. But should Alabama be on upset alert? We'll get into that on today's edition of Locked On LSU.
You are Locked On LSU, your daily podcast on the LSU Tigers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts. We can also find us on YouTube as well. So just search Locked On LSU in the search bar, hit that subscribe button, and you'll get notified as soon as the podcast drops. So you can watch the podcast as well as listen to it on your preferred podcast platform. My name is Caroline Fenton, and I am your host, as I am every day. I graduated from LSU. I've been covering LSU football since 2016, and I now host a sports talk radio show in Nashville, Tennessee. But let's get into it, because I want to talk about, obviously, the biggest game on LSU's schedule this year, and probably the biggest game in the last 3 years, because in 2020 and 2021, I think LSU was just playing for pride. LSU wasn't playing for anything. It wasn't a good enough team to be able to, for the games against Alabama to really matter. This year, though, this year it matters. And going into this season, if you would have told me that LSU would be going into the Alabama game 6-2 and potentially competing for the SEC West and to have a legitimate shot at winning this game, I probably, one, wouldn't have believed you, and two, would have been doing cartwheels about how excited I was that in Brian Kelly's year one, he was able to turn things around and at least make LSU relevant, make these games matter, and make these games important. So I think that's, first and foremost, the biggest thing for me here is it's really nice for this LSU-Alabama game, not just to be a big game, because every year it's going to be anticipated. Every year it's going to be a big game. Every year all college football fans' eyes are going to be on this matchup, really kind of no matter what. But this year, it means something. This year, the stakes are really high. And I'm not going to say that it reminds me of 2019, because that team was just different. So it doesn't remind me of that game in that way, but it is nice to finally have the anticipation for this big game actually be for high stakes and high odds and to potentially run the SEC West again with LSU's win over Ole Miss last week. So should Alabama be on upset alert? And I think it's a very fair question to ask. And it's a question that I'm going to ask to y'all throughout this week. And I'll be taking questions, comments, concerns for Mailbag Wednesday this week. So if you have a question or something that you want me to touch on this week, make sure to comment it on YouTube, or you can tweet me, you can DM me at CarolineFenton1 or at LockedOnLSU. So should Alabama be on upset alert? And I think so, for three reasons. First and foremost, this question was asked to Sam Acho on ESPN earlier this week. Should Alabama be on upset alert? This is what Sam Acho had to say.
I would say it's too soon. I don't think the Tide should be on upset alert, and I don't think that LSU right now is ready to beat Alabama, partly because of the way Alabama lost a few weeks ago. We saw what they did to Mississippi State. I don't think they want to lose like they lost to Tennessee. And so then you go to comparing the teams they're playing. Tennessee's offense, to me, is more potent at quarterback, at receiver, than what you have at LSU. And so I think with that small difference in the skill positions, LSU versus Tennessee, I don't know if Alabama will be able to be upset like they were before.
Now, some things I agree with and some things I don't. I think that Sam Acho hits on something about almost like the revenge factor for Nick Saban. And I think that that's a legitimate factor here, that they lost that game at Tennessee and they're going to come back angry. I think that's more of a factor for that Mississippi State game 2 weeks ago, that it was a little bit more recent. I think that, like, whenever the wound is still new and fresh, that plays a little bit more of a role here. But I do think that that's a fair point of the whole Nick Saban revenge factor, that Alabama doesn't drop two games in a season very often. So that's fair. But I do want to argue a bit with Sam Acho's take about LSU's offense versus Tennessee's offense. He says the talent and the personnel for Tennessee is above that of LSU. I disagree with that. I think it's fair to say that Tennessee has a better offense because they have a better offensive scheme, because Tennessee can put up a billion points in a game and LSU just isn't quite there yet, or hasn't shown that consistency to put up that many points and that many yards yet. I think that Tennessee has the more thrilling and exciting up-tempo, super high-powered offense over LSU. And I don't think very many people would disagree with that. But when it comes to the talent, I do have to disagree with that, because there's always this argument of, it's not just the Tennessee team, but so many really good teams in the past have been, is it the scheme or is it the people? Is it the scheme or is it the talent? Is it the coaches, you know, X's and O's and the style of offense that they play, or do they just have really freaking good players? In 2019 for LSU, it was the players. There was so much talent on that team. For Tennessee this year, and this is not a knock on Tennessee because there's a whole lot of talent on that team, it's more so a product of the system, I believe, rather than it is a product of the talent. Now, you know, you can pick that apart all you want, because Tennessee's offense has been electric. You know, we saw it side by side, LSU versus Tennessee. Tennessee's offense was electric. But I want to look more so at the recent games from LSU and compare that to Tennessee's offense against Alabama, because that is Sam Macho's argument, is that LSU's offense isn't as good as Tennessee's, and Tennessee's offense was just barely able to squeak past Alabama. Okay, so Tennessee stat line against Alabama: Hendon Hooker was 21 of 30 for 385 yards, 5 touchdowns, and 1 interception. Really, really impressive day for Hendon Hooker. But let's look at the past 2 weeks, where Jaden Daniels and this LSU offense has looked so much more improved than it has all season long. Because Jaden Daniels against Florida, compared to Hendon Hooker's stat line against Alabama, Jaden Daniels was 23 of 32 with 349 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 interceptions. That was just his stat line passing. Because overall on the day, not just Jaden Daniels, but the team as a whole rushed for 179 yards and 3 touchdowns. On the other hand, Tennessee against Alabama rushed for 182 yards and 2 touchdowns. Really not a huge difference there. If you look at LSU against Ole Miss, Jaden Daniels was 21 of 28 for 248 yards and 2 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. Rushing, they rushed for 252 as a team, not just Jaden Daniels, 252 yards and 4 touchdowns on 48 carries. So if you compare that to the 21 of 30, the 385 yards, the 5 touchdowns, 1 interception from Hendon Hooker, and the 182 yards and 2 touchdowns on the ground from Tennessee as a team, as a whole, against Alabama, those stat lines aren't incredibly different. Of course, Jaden Daniels only threw for 250 against Ole Miss, but they ran for almost 100 more yards than Tennessee did against Alabama. And LSU is not turning the ball over. Now, Hendon Hooker, you know, the Tennessee team doesn't have a habit of doing that, but 0 interceptions to 11 touchdowns in those 2 weeks just for Jaden Daniels alone. I'm not saying that LSU's offense is as good as Tennessee's or can be as dominant as Tennessee's, but my argument is I don't think LSU's offense, from what it's shown us in the last 2 weeks, is that drastically different than what Tennessee did against Alabama. And I think there's another factor to that that I want to get into coming up next about the other side of the ball. How can LSU beat Alabama? Should Alabama be on upset alert? And kind of comparing that to some of Alabama's games earlier on in the season. We'll get into that coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Nissan, because every week I have a thrilling moment in college football, which of course is brought to you by Nissan. And the thrilling designs behind the new lineup from Nissan are intended to empower drivers in vehicles as capable as the driver themselves. So when I think of unbelievable abilities on the field for this week's thrilling moment, I have to go back to Alabama LSU in 2011, and it came down to overtime. Alabama kicks a 52-yard field goal, misses it, and then LSU gets the ball. They kick a field goal. It's good, and LSU wins 9-6. LSU was able to punch their ticket to the BCS National Championship that year and beat Alabama in 2011. It's Alabama week, so I got to bring back some of the best moments from this rivalry. This segment has been inspired by the thrilling new designs featured by Nissan's new lineup of vehicles. Pursue what thrills you in the all-new Frontier, Armada, or Pathfinder today. Available now at NissanUSA.com. Well, thanks for making Locked On LSU your first listen today. So for your second listen today, check out Locked On Sports Today. From the games that matter the most to the biggest stories in sports, go beyond the scoreboard and behind the scenes with local experts and insights only Locked On can provide. Locked On Sports Today, available on this app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts. So should Alabama be on upset alert? There's a question that I just mentioned that Sam Acho was asked, and he said, honestly, no, I don't think LSU is ready to be, you know, competitive with Alabama. Maybe that's a fair point. Maybe that, maybe, you know, a 2-week sample size from the Florida and the Ole Miss game, those were, you know, good games for LSU, but they're just not quite to the echelon of Alabama. Maybe he's right. But he uses the argument of the Tennessee-Alabama game and says Tennessee's offense is so much better than LSU's, and they were just barely able to squeak by Alabama. So that would give you reason to believe that Tennessee was able to keep up with Alabama, and LSU, not as good as Tennessee, or an offense not as high-powered as Tennessee's, won't be able to. But I think there's an element to that story that's missing, because that's a fair point and that's a fair argument, but I laid out might not really be that big of a difference. But the difference could be the defense. The difference very much so could be the defense between these two teams and between, you know, the Tennessee and Alabama game versus the Alabama and LSU game. Because statistically, based off of total defense rankings in the NCAA, Alabama has not played an SEC game that has a defense ranked as highly as LSU's. Now, LSU per NCAA.com, in terms of total defense, LSU has the 35th best defense in the country. Alabama, on the other hand, has the 14th best statistically. Missouri and Kentucky are both sitting at 19 and 20, which honestly, Missouri at 19 was not what I expected at all. Kind of a shocker there, but hey, go Tigers, go all of them. But LSU is the next SEC team on that list at 35. And Tennessee, on the other hand, is listed at 82, an 82nd best team in college football in terms of total defense. Now, you can say, you know, LSU's defense has only gotten better, Tennessee's defense has only gotten better, and some of those might be skewed based off of earlier games or based off of development in the last couple of weeks, but overall, that's what we can go off of. So a lot of the discussion is going to be the offense, but I think that we also have to look at the differences in defense between Tennessee and LSU. If we're going to make that argument that LSU just couldn't keep up with Tennessee and Tennessee just barely squeaked by Alabama, LSU has a really freaking good defense. And I think that it's only getting better. The more and more Matt House learns this personnel and more this team can kind of gel. And I think Brian Kelly kind of mentioned it best in his press conference on Monday. He talked about the defense and talked about Harold Perkins, how much we can see Harold Perkins and B.J. Ojulari and their kind of their strategy with using the linebackers in this game, a game that has a very balanced offensive attack. You've got Bryce Young with a very strong arm. I think he's the best quarterback in the country, who's also able to extend plays with his legs, and he's able to escape pressure. If you watch that Tennessee-Alabama game, you could see that best, that Bryce Young can escape pressure better than any other quarterback in the country. But then they also have that threat of Jahmyr Gibbs on the ground. Jahmyr Gibbs is a bad man. So what's the plan with the linebackers, and how can LSU use all of this defensive talent to be able to put up the best fight against Alabama? And this was what Brian Kelly had to say.
Well, I think it's important that, you know, the best players play, and I think we've seen consistently who those players are. Micah Baskerville's been playing, you know, really good football for us. You know, obviously we want to get Ojulari on the field and Perkins. Those guys are, you know, making plays and have had, for us, high production. So not that Greg has not, and certainly he has done a really nice job for us as well, but those are your high production guys, and so when you're playing a team like Alabama, if you know what you're doing at all, you better get your best players on the field.
Our best players have to be on the field. And I don't know exactly if Brian Kelly is talking about playing B.J. Ojulari over Harold Perkins, if he's talking about making sure Harold Perkins is on the field, you know, whether that means B.J. Ojulari or not, or whether that means using both of them. To use B.J. Ojulari as a pass rusher and put pressure on Bryce Young, and to use Harold Perkins very creatively in the run game, the way that we saw Matt House use Harold Perkins against Ole Miss. You know, he would drop back, almost be used as an extra DB. He would come up and play inside and play kind of closer to the line of scrimmage. I think that's what he's getting at, is We got to see both of them on the field. We have to have our best players on the field. And those two, BJ Ojulari and Harold Perkins, are two of your best players defensively. So I think that we need to talk more about this LSU defense and how they're able to get pressure on Alabama, as well as talking about if LSU's offense can keep up with Alabama's, because I think that those are both very important conversations to have. And I don't think that enough people are talking about how this is statistically the best defense that Alabama has faced all season long. And in my opinion, it's only getting better. You and I both watch the games. It looks better week over week over week. But coming up next, the third reason why I think Alabama should be on upset alert, and honestly, it doesn't really have anything to do with LSU. I'll explain what that means coming up next. But before we do that, I want to tell you about Sweatblock. So I have a story about one of my friends, Mike. So he's a Vegas resort concierge, and he was sweating through his suit coat on the job. Like in less than an hour, he would have to get up from his desk, go to the bathroom, kind of dry off his underarms a little bit, and then he could come back out and attend to customers, but that's just a waste of time. But he finally has his life back thanks to Sweatblock. So Sweatblock wipes are a must-have for everyone's toiletry bag. Whether it's a big presentation or a hot date, everyone can benefit from having a little bit of help from sweating underneath your underarms. Whether it's a hot day out, Sweatblock has you covered. So if someone you know or someone you love is experiencing embarrassing sweat or odor, try Sweatblock. Save 20% with promo code LOCKEDON at sweatblock.com. Also available on Amazon. Well, thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We're free and available wherever you get your podcasts. Plus, check us out on YouTube as well. Locked On LSU on YouTube. So a question was asked on ESPN. Should Alabama be on upset alert? I say yes for three reasons. First and foremost, because LSU's offense has evolved leaps and bounds throughout the year. Number two, Alabama has not played a defense in the SEC as highly ranked or as highly with as good as of stats as LSU does statistically in total defense. LSU is 35th in the nation in total defense. Alabama is 14, but no team that Alabama has faced in the SEC has a defense ranked as high. And the third reason doesn't really have anything to do with LSU really or the makeup of that team. I think it has everything to do with Alabama themselves. Alabama, since Bryce Young has taken over as the starting quarterback, has really struggled on the road in two different ways. One, Alabama just doesn't put up a whole lot of points on the road. Let's go back to 2021 when Bryce Young's rookie year, his first season, Alabama played four games on the road. All but one of them were decided by 3 points. At Florida, 31-29 win, way closer than it needed to be. At Texas A&M, they lost that game, 41-38. At Mississippi State, that was the one game that was a total blowout in Starkville. That was a 49-9 win. And then that last game of the year, we all remember it, the Iron Bowl, double overtime. Alabama won 24-22 in overtime. And the trend has kind of continued in this season, because at Texas, Alabama won 20-19, only a 1 point game on the road. And now we've seen Texas, they're 5-3 so far in the season, and Texas isn't a great team. At Arkansas was the one game that was a blowout. Like we saw last year, there's going to be that one game on the road. Alabama won 49-26. And then again, at Tennessee, that was a 52-49 loss. So 5 out of the 7 games that Alabama has played on the road in the last 2 years since Bryce Young has taken over as starting quarterback have been decided by 3 points or less. And in 2 of those 5 games, Alabama has lost. I think that this is a trend with Alabama that, you know, with a 7-game sample size across 2 years, I think that Alabama playing on the road really plays a big part in the way that they play. And if you look at kind of the things that you see that are in common with one another, at the Swamp, at Texas A&M, one of the loudest stadiums in college football, at Auburn in the Iron Bowl, at Texas when Nick Saban said that was one of the loudest environments they had been in. Maybe it wasn't Nick Saban. Maybe it was a player. Someone on the Alabama sideline said that was one of the loudest environments they had ever been in. And then at Tennessee, you know, a sold out 103,000 people capacity Neyland Stadium. Those are packed, loud, and rowdy stadiums. What is Tiger Stadium going to be on Saturday? Packed, loud, and rowdy. It was just announced today that it's a sold out crowd. There's going to be over 102,000 people screaming in the stands. It's a night game in Death Valley. This environment is something that we as LSU fans take so much pride in because it's so difficult to play in as an opposing fan. Alabama has proven, and Bryce Young, since he's taken over as quarterback, they struggle in those environments. So that's kind of an underrated reason why I think Alabama should be on upset watch. And the other side to that is not just the history of how they've played on the road and the outcomes, but also how they've gotten to those outcomes. Because Alabama, like I just mentioned, has played three road games so far this season, at Texas, at Arkansas, and at Tennessee. Three of those games, all on the road, have been uncharacteristically undisciplined games for Alabama. At Texas, Alabama committed 15 penalties for 100 yards. That was the most penalties committed ever for a Nick Saban team, the most ever since the Iron Bowl in 2014 or 13, whatever year that was, the kick six game, most penalties since then. And they go on the road at Arkansas. They commit 10 penalties for 101 yards. At Tennessee, they broke another record because it was the most penalties ever committed by a Nick Saban Alabama coach team since that Texas game when they committed 17 penalties for 154 yards. That's just another layer to the fact that this team doesn't play their best on the road. And I think is another testament to the fact that this Alabama team isn't as dominant or doesn't look as dominant and disciplined as maybe some other Nick Saban teams of the past. Of those really dominant, best team in the country type of Nick Saban coach teams. That this team is just different, that they commit penalties, that they are undisciplined, that they will shoot themselves in the foot. Alabama is at the bottom of college football, which doesn't happen very often in terms of penalties committed. They've committed, I believe, 60-something penalties on the year. 42 of those were in those three games on the road. 42 penalties for 355 yards in three games all away from Bryant-Denny Stadium. This is not a road team whatsoever. So I think that's an interesting element to look for here. And another reason why I think Alabama should be on upset alert. But on tomorrow's episode, I want to get into how could LSU be that team that can upset Alabama? What does LSU have to do? And what Brian Kelly had to say about it in his Monday press conference. I want to get into that on tomorrow's episode. But thank you for making Locked On LSU your first listen every day. We are free and available wherever you get your podcasts, and we're on YouTube as well. But for your next listen, check out the Locked On Sports Today podcast. The biggest stories of the day, plus instant reactions, big game recaps, and the take of the day is available in the Odyssey app, YouTube, and wherever you get your podcasts.